Alvin, let me just ask for it right off the top. How about a deck of yeah? Start us off on this Friday. The deck of yeah on a Friday. Hope you packed it in. Hope you denimed up. Hope you're ready to roll. Let's finish strong. Leave it all out there. The grind does include Friday. Let's get it. Broadcasting live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Hey, Alvy, run that thing back. Let's start over. Let's do it again the right way. I don't feel badly about it. They're a longtime partner. They're still a partner of the program. 3, 2, 1. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. How about a quick deck of yeah, Alvy? Do you see what just happened there? Even if you don't sweat it. It's all good. We are broadcasting live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, let's go ahead and get this thing. It is a Friday program. We've got a great show for you. Coming off the NBA trade deadline. Insane day yesterday. Right off the very top, Sam Amick, USA Today NBA Insider, joins us. 15 minutes out. Since I redid the open, maybe 10 minutes out. And he'll break down what happened yesterday as it relates to the Cavaliers, who they brought in, who they got rid of, the LA Lakers, the winners, the losers, the trade deadline. Crazy day. Sam Amick joining me at 20 past. In hour number two, a guard for the Clemson Tigers, Gabe DeVoe. Hour number two also, my man Mike Freeman coming back in. We'll talk some NFL with him. Third hour is open on a Friday. We like to do that sometimes because there is so much to get done between now and then. Hit me up. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Having so much fun with the simulcast. It has been great. Ever since the very start of the year when we threw the switch and the radio program became a TV program as well, we've added new listeners, new markets. It has been awesome. So what are we talking about today? What are we talking about today? The same freaking thing we've been talking about for weeks. Philadelphia. I can't believe it. Here I am in Southern California. Beautiful day in SoCal. And I'm starting the day yet again with a shout out to Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia absolutely went off yesterday. 2 million people slammed into a 300-year-old street, celebrating a half a century in the making. And yet somehow, in a seven-digit deep crowd, a single man stole the entire show. In other words, I see your Gronk. I raise you Jason Kelce. Jason freaking Kelce. Lifetime Eagle with 8 seasons on the offensive line. A man who dropped verbatim Rocky quotes after winning the Super Bowl, showed up to yesterday's parade, decked head to toe in a sparkling neon green mummer's getup, and he out-partied the entire city of Philadelphia all by himself. I mean, one thing for the Eagles parade to trend on Twitter all morning long, but entirely another for an offensive lineman to stay on that list as well into the afternoon. But then again, Jason Kelce did jump off the float, run into the crowd, high-five fans, sign autographs, pose for pics, slam cans of beer in the street, ride a random mountain bike for a few minutes, and then conduct an F-bomb laden chant live on local TV. All of that alone would have made him the championship parade goat. But that was just this dude's morning cup of joe. Because when the march down Broad Street finally ended up at the Art Museum for the ceremony, Jason Kelce and his outfit found their way to the podium. And let me just say, we are all a million times better for it. 5 pure, unadulterated, euphoric minutes of verbally flipping the entire world the bird. And it started like a stone-cold Steve Austin promo.
You love the Eagles, let me get a hell yeah! You love the Philadelphia Eagles, let me get a hell yeah!
yeah! And then for the next minute, after that epic opening, he went in. He went hard. He ran down the underdog mentality and how Howie Roseman engineered the entire thing. Picked him up. Then he got to Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is the guy who Mike Lombardi of The Ringer earlier this season called, quote, the least qualified head coach in the last 30 years, end quote. That quote happened to get a lot of run leading up to the Super Bowl, and it ended up aging worse than gas station sushi. And guess who didn't forget about it? I mean, Lombardi may have skated had Kelsey let that go. May have skated. But there was no way in hell Kelsey was going to let that go.
When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire by a lot of freaking analysts out there in the media. This past offseason, some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL. You saw a driven Doug Peterson, a man who went for it on fourth and down. Went for it on fourth and down in the Super Bowl with the trick play. He's playing for a Super Bowl.
Hey, listen, I don't care how deep you dig into your bag of expletives. There's nothing quite as strong as calling somebody a clown or a bum. And Lombardi just got called a clown on live TV in front of millions of people, and he's going to have to wear that for the rest of his life. Now, to his credit, Lombardi already tweeted, quote, look, I deserve what Kelsey said. I was wrong, and he was right, end quote. You know, he did a good job of owning it. That's a nice tweet. But something tells me Eagle fan could give a hell about apologies right about now. Kelsey then went off for another 2 minutes or so, running down every single incorrect criticism that he had heard about all of his teammates. Just a totally awesome, how you like us now moment. And the crowd loved it. But not as much as they loved it when Kelsey talked about them.
You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 52 years, you've been starved in this championship. Everybody wonders why we're so mean. Everybody wonders why the Philadelphia Eagles aren't the nicest fans. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
They've been starved. Everybody wonders why we're so mean. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm bleeping pissed off. That's the kind of line you wish you came up with. That's the kind of live line that's going to live on forever. The kind of line that will get turned into a t-shirt that every Eagle fan will be rocking next year. An instant classic from a dude who is absolutely rolling on the steps of the art museum. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm bleeping pissed off.
If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
And the guy still wasn't done. He still was not done. The haters and the doubters, they still hadn't gotten theirs yet.
No one wanted us. No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl, and nobody likes our fans. And you know what? You know what I gotta say? To all those people that doubted us, to all those people that counted us out, and to everybody who said that we couldn't get it done. What my man Jay Ajayi just said, f*** you.
Nothing there. Nothing to see here. Just an bleep you blast to everybody who said the Eagles didn't have a shot, which is essentially pretty much the entire world after Carson Wentz went down. I wonder what felt better, winning the Super Bowl or telling the entire planet, bleep you. It's got to be a tough call. Now, that's the perfect moment to drop the mic and walk off. Best moment ever. The perfect moment to drop that mic and walk off. Unless you're Jason Kelsey, and instead of exiting stage left, you start a 2 million person, no one likes us chant.
No one likes us. No one likes us. Okay. We're the Philly. No one likes us. We don't care.
No one likes us. We don't care. It's got, it's really one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. The whole thing. I must be honest. Viking fan is happy the Birds won after seeing Jason Kelsey's act yesterday. Hell, even the Chouds know the world is a better place for having the Jason Kelsey experience yesterday. And now all the fellas can welcome a new leader to their club. You know the club I'm talking about. Chase Utley. Brad Marchand. The Hood himself. My man, Mark Mattson. Mark Mattson. They can all fight for second place because Jason Kelce is the runaway championship parade soundbite goat. Anyone looking to run this guy down is now staring at an almost impossible feat. 56-game hitting streak? That ain't happening. Johnny Vandermeer going back-to-back no-hitters? Maybe. Hey, maybe. Maybe since the no-hitter is the new shutout and the perfect game is the no-new-hitter, maybe. But nobody's going to go back-to-back-to-back with no-hitters. You're not going to run that down. You're not going to run this guy down. Anyone looking to run him down is looking up now at an impossible feat. The get-up, the beer chugging, the fan interaction, the bike riding, the multiple F-bomb speech. Have yourself a day, Jason Kelce. And good luck to anybody ever trying to top that. Ever. Fly, Eagles, fly.
If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off.
Hey, look, I love that dude's brother. We had him on the show. Always, he's great. I love this dude. Again, I don't have a dog in the fight. I didn't care who won that game. I really didn't. But I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't hyped up and pumped up and didn't want to rush right into that watching that yesterday. That was absolutely amazing. And I'm saying that as a California native. I'm saying that as somebody who grew up in Los Angeles. That was an amazing thing to watch. One of those things that when I saw that going down, I thought to myself, I cannot wait to get on the air tomorrow and talk about that. Incredible. All right, in addition to it, and I'll run that back again now. I'll reset that. You know I will. I do want to talk about the Cavaliers and what that means to them, the way they broke up that entire roster. They're different. They're better. Without question, they're different and they're better. But how much better? I mean, are they good enough to compete with Golden State? Are they good enough to win the East? They're different, but are they better? That's my tease. They're different and they are better. I want to get into how much better. Sam Amick joins us next. I want to talk about the LA Lakers, what that means to them. I want to talk about Isaiah Thomas. My man's having a bad year. Not all his fault. A lot of it is his fault. A lot of it's not his fault. He's having a bad year. Only on a day like that could Jimmy Garoppolo getting the deal that he received almost get lost in the shuffle. But I'll hit that a little bit later on. A couple of quick tweets before I go to break. And I've got Sam Amick coming up next. Tweet number one, at Bucky Kessler tweets, I see nothing wrong with what Jay Kelce's voice sounded like. Signed, Howard Dean.
We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
I still have no idea what that was at the end of that. Yeah! That. What is that? Yeah! I know why Kelce sounded the way he sounded. Guy's probably been going nonstop since that game ended, and then he went out in 30-degree weather and delivered a speech like that in front of 2 million people. I know what that sounds like. I know how my voice sounds. Well, one, how it sounds right now, and two, how it sounds after I go to a bar the night before and try and talk over a few people with some music. I know exactly why Kelce sounds the way he sounds. I have no idea why Howard Dean sounded like, wah! I don't know. Jeremy and Scani tweets, Kelce has a point, though. No one has ever converted a fourth and down before.
Fourth and down!
I mean, Jeremy, what's your point? I mean, we all heard that. One minor misspeak in the greatest parade speech ever. And you're going to take time out of your day to thumb that out? Come on, Jeremy. Kevin in the D tweets, Jim, Kelce's hell yeah belongs in the Deca yeah. What are the odds the clones get a Hendeka yeah? You know, this comes up a lot. People try to add to perfection. They want to change up the Deca yeah. Less is more. If Alvin is feeling it, because Alvin pretty much has ownership rights on the Deca yeah, and he's already shaking me off. Can I get a shot of Alvin? Can I get a shot of Alvin, please? Sharon, are you back to work? Yeah, Alvin, you're not feeling that, are you? Hey, Alvin, I know you don't have a mic in front of you, but let me just ask you a question. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, Alvin, how do you feel about adding Jason Kelce's hell yeah to it?
No!
That looks like a no. Maybe you know what you do, or do what you always do. Can you produce it so we can hear how it sounds, or are you not feeling that even? Dude, after the interview, I'll do it if I feel
dude,
like it.
Dude, no.
I'm like a ventriloquist. Hey, Alvin, how do you feel about that? Doing after the end. See, my lips aren't even moving. Watch this on TV.
Dan, maybe after the interview. After the interview, I'll do it.
Look, this is incredible. I can do this. I'm like a ventriloquist. Quick, go to CBS Sports Network right now on DirecTV, channel 221 on dish 158. Do it. I'm like a ventriloquist. Alvin, do you think that maybe you could at least produce it so we can hear how it sounds?
No!
Dude, stop doing that. I'm trying to do a bit here. Alvin, do you think after the interview, you can at least produce it with sound? Now watch this. If you're watching on TV, I'm like a ventriloquist.
Dan, and maybe after the interview. Maybe after the interview.
I'm good, man. It's like TV is brought. Now that I'm back on TV every single day, and I was for like 20 years, and then I wasn't for like 20 days, and now that I am, it's like I've brought my game up. I raised my game up. Now I'm a ventriloquist. And Den Lesk says, you know what, Den Lesk, I really don't give a damn what you say. I'm not even going to read it. Okay, let's get out. Uh-oh, Sam Amick was supposed to be on 1 minute ago. Sam, sorry about that, bro.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sam Amick moves to 40 past, which works out pretty well since I went kind of fat in the opening segment. So that's good news for you, too. There's an open phone line. Opportunity for you to call right now, 1-800-636-8686. Ton of Kelsey reaction. Dear Rome, what a great marketing idea. Can't you just hear the commercial for Denny's right now? Eat breakfast at Denny's so you don't start out your day bleeping pissed.
If Jeff and AZ. Wore
too much beer before noon. Hey, whenever you're hungry, you're bleeped off, right? He's right. Rome. No one likes us. We don't care. No one likes us. We don't care. Sincerely, office small talk guys. Roland Pittsburgh. No one likes us. We don't care. Roland's right. I'm not big on small talk either. Or on office small talk guy. Or elevator small talk guy. Hey, I'm not weirded out by the silence. It's not awkward. The small talk is awkward. Roland, you're right. Hey, GM, the only thing that was missing from Kelsey's speech was, when I get hyped, I take my shirt off.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off. I take it off.
Troy Nicholas. There's so many things I love about that. Number one, that's one of the all-time rally speeches before a big game. Troy Nicholas.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off.
All right, so I love that for that. I love it because he went to Notre Dame. He said that before Notre Dame game. And I love it that he's a SoCal. Orange County, in fact. Luke in Nashville writes, that would have been a tough task, though, admittedly. Yeah, but if he took a shirt off yesterday, Kelsey would have had to take that outfit off, that costume off, and that was the best costume ever. Sarah T is in. Hi, Jim. The Eagles are already annoying. I'm going to stop right there. Sarah, a Patriot fan saying somebody else is annoying. That's great. The Eagles are already annoying. Sure, it was their turn. Sure, we're happy for them. But give it time, Jim. They'll be hated too, just like all the other winners over the years. Enjoy your cuteness, Philly. The country is already starting to hate you. Besides, it's just as well the Pats lost. We would have had to grease Tom Brady up so Alex Guerrero wouldn't climb up on him. Signed, Sarah T. Boy, Sarah, you're on the edge. Sarah, you're really on the edge. Thirsty as ever, but on the edge. You know, she's right. The country will inevitably start to hate on Philadelphia, the way the country inevitably starts to hate on anybody who wins. No matter how good of a guy, good of a town, they will hate. Golden State, to me, is a great example. Not that Golden State gets a ton of hate, but there's backlash. You know, if you don't want to call it hate, call it backlash. And Golden State's done everything the right way. And don't at me with, yeah, Rome, how about Kevin Durant? How about Kevin Durant? Free to sign wherever he wants. That's what he did. The same thing you would do if you were free to sign wherever you wanted. What I'm saying is, if you win, there will be hate. If you win, there will be backlash. So she's right about that. Except, Sarah, it doesn't sound quite as good when it's coming from a Patriot fan when everybody already hates you. And can they enjoy it for 1 hour? Like I said, even if you're a Patriot fan, if you had class, you'd have to respect what they did at that parade and what Kelce did. Even if you don't like it, you have to respect it because that was straight up the best parade speech ever. And nothing's even close. Nothing is even close. To the phones on a Friday. If I'm taking a phone call, I can't. It's too late. The clock's jacked. Screw it. It's Friday. Let's go to ABQ. Rex in the ABQ. Rex, what's going on? Only for you, Rex. What's up?
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the vine. But let's be honest. The NBA sucks. I know that's not a take. But when your trade deadline is more interesting than the actual game, that's a problem, okay? The players are a bunch of whiny bags, the owners are out of touch with society, and the refs still don't know how to call a travel. Plus, the commissioner has sanctioned trades that have rendered 26 out of the 30 teams irrelevant. Nice formula, NBA. Things are really looking up. Your ratings are so bad, the XFL thinks you're in trouble. The National Bag Association needs something. I don't know what it is. Maybe free toaster night at a Vancouver Grizzlies game, half-price riblets at a Kansas City Kings game, or maybe after a Supersonics game, a scavenger hunt to find all of Sean Kemp's illegitimate children.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
See, yes and no. Yes and no. I did like that call, even though that was not a very good call, even though pretty much everything he said was untrue. Alvin, why did you run him for that? Is it a clock thing or a Sean Kemp illegitimate child thing? Alvin, we've let a lot worse go than that. What's your problem, Alvy? This is absolutely incredible. Alvin does not have a microphone, so let me just paraphrase what he just said. When I asked him, why is illegitimate kid smack a reason to get run when we've allowed much worse on this show? And he said, dude, I have a soft spot for illegitimate kids. They don't have a father. Said the guy who's got 15 legitimate kids. All right, Alvin. Look, this is a value-based program. There's a moral bent and slant to the program. Don't make fun of children that do not have two parents in the household. Do not make fun of kids who've come from a single-parent household. And don't you do that on Alvin DeLauro's watch. Rexy in New Mexico, still not sexy. And for that, I jack my clock even further. All right. When we come back, Sam Amick joins us. He's an NBA insider. He breaks down what happened yesterday before the trade deadline. Busy show. The bar has not been raised that high. One caller run. If you get to the end of your call without getting run, you've already raised the bar. See if you can do that much. Sam Amick is next. Gabe DeVoe plays college ball at Clemson. A guard for them. He joins us next hour. Mike Freeman also next hour. Third hour includes the week that was from Alvy. We're coming right back, but first, a sports update. Here's the latest for you on a Friday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
At this point, it should go without saying that Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question there. Listen later on. I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'm fired up for this conversation. Coming off the trade deadline yesterday, and I've never seen a day quite like that prior to an NBA trade deadline, we are joined right now by an NBA insider for USA Today Sports. He is the host of the NBA A2Z podcast. Sam Amick is back in the jungle. Sam, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Romy, what's up, brother? I'm doing great. Nice to be back with you.
Good to have you back, Sam. Always good to talk to you. I've got to get your thoughts first on yesterday. Now, Sam, going into yesterday, what kind of rumors and vibes were you getting with regards to Cleveland and the moves they might make? I mean, did you expect them to get as nice and to get as busy as they were?
I did not. I mean, I got to call a spade, you know, and I don't think I'm alone in this regard. You know, not only did I not expect this to happen, there was kind of this growing noise about kind of a, you know, a tinfoil hat idea, if you will, that Dan Gilbert, the Cavs owner, you know, was contemplating standing pat at the trade deadline, that he was fed up with just kind of the vibe and different things and even kind of the history and the dynamic with LeBron. And it had me honestly believing, like, man, are we going to get past this deadline and really learn that this is the beginning of the end for LeBron James and Cleveland? Because to me, if they didn't do anything, if they didn't, you know, go out and try to make this team back into a title contender, that would speak volumes. And they obviously, they went the exact opposite direction. I love what they did. Toby Altman, first-year GM, just killed it.
Sam Amick joining us, and we'll talk about what you liked about what they did in a minute. But let me ask you this. How much of the issues that the Cavaliers had in the last 20 games were about talent, and then how much of it was just about chemistry?
I'd probably say the latter was the bigger portion. They are old. They were old, rather. Right. They fixed that with this trade. But they were the oldest team in the NBA, and guys are, you know, more mileage. They're slower, and that was showing itself night in, night out. But the spirit of the group was the bigger problem. And the I'm forgetting who they had before Minnesota, but that last loss where LeBron himself, the guy who, you know, through thick and thin had normally played at an MVP caliber level, LeBron looked terrible. They seemed like a dispirited, you know, squad. Then you get in the locker room, and every single night you were having these incredible media sessions where guys were just, you know, saying the kinds of things that we don't typically hear on the record, on camera, taking shots at each other. And they were kind of an open book and a soap opera, and that's not conducive to winning. So I think the chemistry was the bigger factor.
I've never seen worse chemistry, and I'm just saying that as somebody sitting here in California, but watching from afar, I've never seen a team that looked like that on the floor. I can only imagine what was going on off it. It was terrible. Sam Amick joining us. So now you've shaken up that locker room and the entire roster. You bring in Rodney Hood, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. You get rid of Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Channing Frye, and Iman Shumpert. It's a really different roster, Sam. How much better are they, though?
I think, I mean, listen, when you bring on six new guys, we got to wait and see how they fit. But what I love, and to your question, is that, again, not only the youth, because Clarkson, Hood, and Nance are all 25 years old, the versatility is big, especially Nance. He's going to give him a guy who can guard multiple positions. That's something they didn't have before. They had a lot of one-way players on that roster before these deals. And, you know, and so we'll see how all the pieces fit. But this is what they needed to do. They had to get more competitive, and this does not put them back with the Warriors. This simply chips away at the gap between them and the Celtics and the Raptors, and I do think allows them to get back into this race. I mean, the one thing, Jim, that everybody – not that everybody was sleeping on it, but I looked at the standings yesterday, and we focused so much on how much they've fallen behind Boston and Toronto. You know, going into yesterday, they were four games away from falling out of playoff position,
sure,
which is just unthinkable. So – I think this is going to help. I think they got significantly better. You know, the one quibble, they lose a first-round pick in the process, and these days that's a big price to pay. But other than that, I think it was great.
Sam Amick joining us. I think in that sense, Sam, that's an overpay. I think for them to lose that number one is an overpay, right, but they did keep the Brooklyn pick, and that's huge for them. The other side of this, of course, Sam, is how does it impact LeBron? Do you have any kind of sense? What does LeBron think of the moves, and how might it impact his decision in the offseason?
Yeah, I feel like I've got a good feel for it. And again, just being honest about my own kind of sense of my reporting, and, you know, the deal goes down, and my first reaction, and I even tweeted this, was I was dumbfounded that the Cavs of all teams would be helping the Lakers pave the way for LeBron financially anyway to come their way. Everybody knows the story. They now have two max salary cap slots. They had to get rid of Jordan Clarkson to do that. So then I started reaching out to a few different people. It didn't take long from one of LeBron's absolute inner circle people saying they love the trade. And they were giving a big thumbs up. They got younger. They got better defensively. And the spirit of what the Cavs did yesterday that does impress me is this idea that they decided to be bold and not spend their time worrying about a team like the Lakers or anybody else stealing their guy in free agency this summer – and instead focus on the fact that he's in a Cavs jersey right now, and you can control the roster, you can control how competitive you are, and you can convince him to not go anywhere. So that's the approach they took.
We're talking to Sam Amick. You know, Sam, I could talk to you about the Cavaliers for another half hour, but before I let you go, let's move on to a couple of other things. I know you spoke with Aaron Goodwin, who represents Isaiah Thomas, as everything was going down yesterday. And even right now, there's a report that he said that Isaiah Thomas is not going to be willing to come off the bench here in L.A. I mean, the guy's not even here yet, and already you're hearing that kind of speculation. Listen, it was not that long ago that this is a guy who finished fifth in the MVP voting. Now he's being traded after 15 games in Cleveland. So where is Thomas, in your opinion, mentally, physically, and emotionally after everything that's taken place in the last 9 months?
I think mentally and emotionally he's spent, and he's going to have to find a way to hit the reset button. Like you said, it's a tough thing to go from fifth in MVP voting ahead of Steph Curry last season to a guy who now is having to argue that he should be a starter on a Lakers team that is below 500. So I don't blame him for being a little frustrated going into this situation. He also, though, has to be sensitive and careful because now things were negative in Cleveland. You don't want to come into LA and have that be the rap. You know, yesterday was wild when it comes to what you alluded to with his agent, Aaron Goodwin. The quick backstory is on ESPN's The Jump, Rachel Nichols is sitting there talking with Ramona Shelburne. Ramona talked about Isaiah coming off the bench. That prompted Aaron to text Rachel and say, I'm not coming off the bench. In the middle of all of this, I had already done a short interview with Aaron. I ended up having to call him back and saying, all right, now let's talk about starting. And so my understanding is this. He's obviously going to play a ton and start with Lonzo out. When Lonzo comes back, I think this is definitely going to become a story. Does Isaiah play side-by-side with Lonzo in the starting lineup, or does Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who just so happens to have the same agent as LeBron, Rich Paul, keep his starting job? And then Isaiah at that time, I think he would be frustrated if he's playing well, then I think you could see him push for a buyout.
Sam Amick is an NBA insider for USA Today Sports. He's got his own podcast. He is the host of the NBA A to Z podcast. Bottom line, Sam, did LeBron want Thomas traded?
In my opinion, yeah. I think, and he's certainly not alone. He was not alone, but we all know that, you know, LeBron's got more of a voice than anybody in that organization. That is definitely my understanding. In the interest of fairness, there is pushback from LeBron's side to that idea, but you know, you also would expect that. But yeah, that's certainly something that that you heard a lot yesterday.
All right, Sam. Also, you spent some time with Paul George when he was still unpacking in Oklahoma City, and then you caught up with him again recently. What kind of sense do you get about how he feels about his time in Oklahoma City, and where's his head at?
I mean, he loves it. I don't think you could have a more positive review at this point in the season, especially for a team that has struggled at different times and has not been as good as we thought they were going to be. Now, recently, they had an uptick. They won 8 in a row. Then they lost 4 in a row. But then they just had their way with the Warriors for a second time. So they are a Jekyll and Hyde team. But the substantive stuff is that he's got a very unique connection with Westbrook so far. They seem to really be hitting it off and clicking on and off the floor. He loves playing with Melo, respects the heck out of him. I don't think he could be more bullish on the Thunder situation. But with all that being said, the irony here is that I learned through the Kevin Durant situation more than ever that just what a guy says in February only matters so much. Kevin sat there and told myself and a lot of other people in the middle of, you know, early June when they lost to the Warriors in the conference finals, he sounded like a guy that was 100% coming back to the Thunder. Free agency is a different beast. When these guys hit July 1, they have a lot to think about.
All right, so, Sam, did anybody bring themselves any closer to running down Golden State yesterday before the deadline?
No. I mean, I still don't think it's – the answer is relating to trades, no. I mean, I'm paying attention to Houston big time. And then certainly, again, I like OKC, what they've been doing to the Warriors is fascinating. But in terms of deals, no. I mean, Houston didn't do anything. And, you know, they didn't have to. They're in a great spot. So, you know, the Cavs are in survival mode. For the Cavs, this was getting their head back above water. But I'm not going to sit here and try to say that this puts them, you know, on the Warriors level.
We're talking to Sam Amick for a few more moments. Sam, in terms of the Lakers, and you touched on this, and I mentioned it yesterday. I mean, how unbelievable would that be if the Cavaliers set this thing up and made it easier for LeBron to go to LA, right? I mean, I hope that's true. Not because I'm a Laker fan. I just think that'd be hilarious myself. But what about that? Now the Lakers, and Rob Pelinka was talking about the fact that we are now better positioned under the cap than any team in the NBA, which is fine, and it's well, as long as you can find max guys who are worthy of that to take your money. What about the Lakers? Does it make it any more or less likely that LeBron will come to them now?
I mean, it's more likely financially, and that's a really important factor. It's more likely because I think they need positive buzz around their team, and they've been playing well. Even with Lonzo out, that's the kind of vibe that they've got to have somebody like LeBron or Paul George or somebody of that caliber look their way and say, yeah, that's something I might want to do. And especially now, the other important thing is if you're a prospective free agent, you can look at this roster and see pieces that are going to be part of the future and imagine yourself side by side with them. So it was a really good day for the Lakers, but you're dead on. Like, doesn't mean that much if you don't go out and eventually get these guys. And as unexpected as that Cavs subplot was, you know, I did talk to the Lakers and get clarity on the fact that in terms of getting off Clarkson's money, they had other options. This was going to happen, excuse me, whether or not it was Cleveland or somebody else. But certainly it makes the story even better because, again, on the Cavs side, the idea that they just looked at it and said, you know what, that's fine. You want to go to the Lakers? We're actually going to make sure that door's open for you. But if you choose to stay in Cleveland, you know, it's going to mean even more, and we'd love to have you.
No, I agree with you, Sam. I'm not sure that makes them – hey, look, I'm sure about this. This does not put them on par with the Golden State Warriors. I'm not sure it puts them on par with Boston, but that's a big swing. And to your point, they're like, hey, look, we got to do what we have to do to make this thing better right now and better for the future. And if that means this guy goes to L.A., so be it. We have to do something. And they did. Sam Amick is an NBA insider for USA Today Sports, host of the NBA A to Z podcast. And what can I say? Coming off the deadline that we did, there's a reason why this is the guy that we went to. Sam, it's great to have you back. Appreciate you always. Thanks so much.
You got it, Jim. Thank you, buddy.
Have a great weekend. Sam Amick joining us. All right, so he loves the moves that the Cavaliers made. Here's what I want to do. When we come back, I haven't gotten into this at length, so I want to hit this when we do come back. And again, the question, they're different. But are they better? Of course they're better. They're obviously much better. They carved out a chunk of the cancer in that locker room. They were old. They had dead weight. They had guys that were largely worthless. They cost a lot of money. Of course they're better. The Cavaliers are much better. Are they good enough to contend and compete with Golden State? Are they good enough to contend and compete even with Boston and Toronto? I'll give you my thoughts on that in a minute. 1-800-636-8686. Hit us up. Telephone number is toll free. One quick email. Rome. People think they have a tough job. They work a lot of hours. They do difficult physical tasks. They deal with a Kardashian. Still, nothing compares to the job that I'm stuck with today. If you are looking for discounts, by the way, I'm your guy. Signed, the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers team merchandise shop. Chad on the North Coast. War Alvin's mix. When Alvin started to produce the week that was every single week, the mix became a weekly thing. Alvin, for old time's sake, does it does exist? You still have the mix. All right, we'll consider that next hour. The mix was this legendary bit of audio that Alvin had produced, and then he stepped his game up and he did a week that was every single week. We're coming back, hour number two. It's a busy hour. Got a couple of interviews for you, including Gabe DeVoe from Clemson, Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report, and the third hour is wide open. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.